Ray, Zer, me, me. Came to fill me with
Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of Always Pressing PGA DFS Pod. You can catch us at Always Press DFS on Twitter. I am Bubba. You can find me on Twitter at BDentric, and as usual, joined by the usual twosome, Jesse at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how you doing?
Doing well, Bubba. Good to be here again.
Good, good. And as always, Bucks. You can find him on Twitter at BPSnow11. Bucks, how we doing, my man?
Doing great. Doing great, fellas.
Good, good. Big weekend coming up. But before we get into that, let's recap a big weekend. Now, we'll get to the DFS in a minute. But overall, Jesse, what do you think of the Wyndham Championship won by none other than Mr. Stenson?
Yeah, it was a score fest. You know, a lot of birdies. Not too awful many bogeys. Stenson went bogey free on Sunday to win. And of course, he was chased down a little bit by a DFS favorite in Ollie Snyder-Jans. But overall, I thought it was a good event. You know, I had Stenson on the picks, so I felt pretty good about that myself.
Good, good. Bucks, any thoughts on the event this weekend?
No, I thought it was great. I thought it was fun to watch. A lot of scoring, which we knew was going to happen. There was a ton of eagles, a couple hole-in-ones, so just a barrage of DK points being thrown out there. So it was a lot of fun to watch. So I'm glad Stenson won. He's kind of been working his way back in the mix the last couple months, and so glad to see him get his win. I am upset that Sabatini did not win, but it was still a fun week to watch.
Yeah, it was good. It was crazy. At least midway through Sunday, you had like a 3 or 4 or 5 way run at it. And then Stenson and Ollie pulled away. And Stenson, of course, makes a big deal out of first event I've ever won without a driver in my bag. But
he always says three.
I don't know. It's three with the monster and that driving iron. I don't know. You guys could clear it up for me. Is it just a 2 iron or something? Because he launches that thing.
Yeah, it's like a. It's like a heavy. It's like a hybrid. Not necessarily a hybrid, but it's like a driving iron. It's not necessarily a 2 iron.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. They kept calling it a driving iron. I was like, and he hit it a good like 270, 280 down the fairway. I was like, Jesus Christ! So pretty impressive there. Let's get to the DFS point of this, and we'll start with you, Bucks, as you had yourself a little weekend and a little bit of a sweat.
Yeah, it was a really good weekend. I entered 4 lineups, which is about typical for me, 3 or 4, and spread those across the 333, the 33, the $8, $4, that kind of thing. And I had a core of Simpson, Sabatini, and Duffner most places. And so that core of Simpson and Sabatini alone not guaranteed me cash, but was – pretty close. So all 4 of my lineups cashed. I had 470 points as my lowest lineup and 533 as my highest. So I won about 3x the money I put in. So it was a good week. And yeah, there was definitely a sweat on Sunday going into it. I think if Webb or Rory pulls it out, I'm top 3, I think, in the 333, so it was a good week.
Yeah, not bad at all. Jesse, anything you'd like to add to your DFS week?
No, I don't want to talk about it. I had 6 out of 6 in my main lineup. I normally I would play like with the 20 max, but I went lighter this week because I, you know, wasn't really feeling it, and I've not been too awful good on my lineup selection here recently. So I go light, didn't do the 20 max. Normally I would have probably hammered Henrik in the 20 max. But anyways, liked Henrik, but I didn't play him. 6 out of 6 and cashed nothing. So
that's just insane.
Are you the only 6 for 6 on the planet that didn't cash this week?
I don't know. I mean, I really don't know. Yeah. I haven't other than – I had Streb and Streelman who played really, really well in the weekend with combined plus seven. So that was really fun.
And it was just crazy because the rate of 6 for 6 that went through was nothing. That's why I was just like, yeah. Holy crap.
Yeah. You would think it was automatic, right? Especially in a 50-50. Sure. You would think it was in a 50-50, but when your guys finish 20 effing shots behind Henrik Stenson, it just doesn't do very good.
Yeah, that's nuts. But I didn't mean to ask that in a negative way. I just wanted to give everybody their time on that one. I apologize.
It's all good. Hey, man, it happens. I mean, that's probably the second time it's ever happened. To me, but it doesn't happen very often.
That's the beautiful thing about DFS is it's so freaking goofy. You just don't know what the heck's going to happen. Just matters of having the big boys that score big. Because, like, it wasn't this week, but there was a couple weekends ago. Guy finished middle of the pack, but he was leading because he had all the birdies and eagles and all that stuff. I can't remember who it was. I want to say Kisner, but I don't think it was Kisner.
Martin Flores.
You never know. Like, week. I had Martin Flores.
Yeah.
That guy, you guys all laughed at me for picking.
He finished with like 100. Did you do well? How did you do? Bubba?
He did great.
Who?
I think he – how'd you do, Bubba?
Oh, well, first off, James Hahn, dead. Dead to me. Dead. He needed to be in the $6,000 range for me to ever touch you again. You're horrible. He birdied the first hole both days to get my hopes up and then just pooped everywhere. I had 2 5-of-6s go through. One ended up doing pretty well, but nothing crazy out of my three lineups. Nothing worth celebrating or anything like that. So same old stuff, different day. Let's get to the important part. The FedEx Cup playoffs are kicking off this week, where we have the top 125 in the PGA standings playing at the Northern Trust Open. Kick us off with anything we need to know about the FedEx Cup playoffs.
Yeah, it's always a blast to watch. They obviously have a select field based on the rankings throughout the year. And they start out with this field. They shave it down after this event, keep shaving it down until the last event. I think it's the top 30 guys that basically play off for the, what is it, $32 million this year or something like that. So $10 million to the winner of the FedEx, the playoffs here, FedEx Cup playoffs. And so it's a lot of really great golf with some really great golfers. I mean, this stretch here are like mini majors every week. This pricing, we'll talk about it here shortly, but this pricing this week is like a mini major.
Yeah, it's crazy. I was reading that link you sent earlier. It's like $35 million in bonus stuff, and then 32 in the final weekend. It goes like 125 to 100, I think 75 to 30 or something that way.
Yes.
So this is the last big DFS week in theory, without getting just goofy. Jesse, you have any past event history of the Northern Trust?
Yeah, I mean, so this is a brand new golf course this year, so it doesn't really pertain to where we're at this week, but. In the past, like last year, this was played at Bethpage Black, and Patrick Reed won. Year before that, it was at Plainfield Country Club, where Jason Day won. Year before that, it was at Ridgewood Country Club, where Hunter Mahan won. Year before that, which was 2013, it was at Liberty National Golf Course, and Adam Scott won. And it was supposed to be at Liberty National again this year, because I think they're on basically a four-course rotation for this event. But Liberty National is hosting the President's Cup this year, so they moved it to Glen Oaks Club in Old Westbury, New York. If that's not an uppity name right there, I don't know what it is. But anyways, so that's it. But it doesn't really matter because we have zero course history. But those are the past four champions of this particular event. And I know Bucks has some more stuff on the actual course.
Yeah, Bucks, why don't you take us on your research on the course?
Yeah, so it's par 70, 7,300 to 7,400 yards. The interesting thing about this course is that it's 27 holes, and they're using each nine in different ways to make up this 18. So starting with the front nine, so at Glen Oaks, let me back up. At Glen Oaks, they have three nines. They have the blue, the red, and the white. So the front nine that they're playing this week consists of seven holes from the white course and two from the red. So the first and second hole are the white one and two. The three and four are four red and five red. And then number five is three white. Six, seven, eight, nine are six, seven, eight, nine of the white course. And then the back nine is the entire nine of the blue course. So did some research on it, looked at some GPS of the holes and kind of figured out what was going on. The interesting thing about this course, and I'm not sure if the designers meant to do it. I'm sure they did, obviously. But of the 14 non-par three holes, or yeah, of the 14 non-par three holes, 11 holes favor the right side. So nine holes of the 18, or nine of the 14 non-par three, have fairway bunkers left, OB left, or water left. And so looking at the course layout, a ton of holes that are favoring the right side, and there's a couple holes that are dogleg rights. And not only that, but there are a ton of bunkers. So there's somewhere right around 60 bunkers on the entire course. So a lot of sand to avoid this week. But at a par 70 at 7,400 yards or just under that, it's pretty long. A lot of par fours in the 475 to 515 range. Other than that, I mean, the only thing of note on the course is that they like to call it Augusta North. And when you look at it, it definitely has that feel. It's pretty generous fairways. The rough is a little thicker than Augusta, but it's really well manicured, really white sand bunkers. So it should be a really good week. I mean, I think this is the fourth week in a row that we've had a course kind of go through a major redesign in the last 3 or 4 years. And so in 2012, they did a major redesign, changed some of the holes around, took out some trees, and they lost, I think I read, 1,200 trees in Hurricane Sandy. So pretty wide open. But the greens are going to be pretty tricky. They're generous, but you have to hit them in the right segments. And then a lot of runoffs. A lot of the greens have false fronts, have runoffs, a ton of bunkers, like I said. So you really have to find some guys that not only are good out of the bunkers, but can scramble pretty well. And honestly, guys that can hit spots and targets on greens, not just those freewheelers that are hitting and hoping.
Very nice. You were telling us earlier the weather looks pretty darn good this week, so that's nice to know. I don't have to worry too much about that.
Yep.
Let's off with some of the key stats you're looking at this week.
Did you say me?
Yes. Yeah.
Sorry.
You big man. I
broke up there for a second. Because it's so long, I'm really going to be looking at driving distance. I think that the longer hitters are going to be at a major advantage here, obviously, because there's one par five that's over 600 yards and it's pretty much not reachable, but there is one that is reachable. The par threes are long, and then they have, I think, five or six, I'm not sure how many exactly, par fours that are playing 450 or longer. There is one reachable, maybe potentially reachable par four. It's about 330 yards. So first and foremost, driving distance, and then as, you know, per my usual, I'll throw in a lot of greens and regulation. And then I think scrambling is probably another good count here. Except I've heard that the greens are going to be hard, as in the surface is going to be hard. And especially if it doesn't get any rain, I don't know that they will put much water on the green. So that could be pretty important as well. And then back to the old birdie or better percentage as well, you know, a lot of typical stats, but a heavy emphasis on driving distance this week for me.
What about you, Bucks? What are you looking at this week?
Yeah, pretty similar to Jesse. I mean, I'm definitely targeting guys that I know can hit the ball pretty long. I do want to target guys that I think will keep it fairly close to the fairway. But from looking at the holes, like Jesse said, there is one unreachable par four. Tons of trouble around that green, so I'm not sure many guys, yeah, unless they're in a tough spot, are going to go after it. But there are a ton of fairway bunkers that to carry those bunkers, it's like in the 285 to 300 yard range. And so for guys that can hit it long, I think they have an easier week because they don't have to think about it as much. And then as far as stats go, obviously driving distance, ball striking 175 to 200. I'm also looking, like I do most majors, I'm looking at cuts, cut percentage, and recent form a little heavier. And so I think this week, I first and foremost, and this is with most every other week, but especially this week, because I'm going to go a little less on the number of lineups I create. So consecutive cuts is important. Cut percentage is important to me. And then the one, and this is more of like an eye test thing, but with so many holes that have trouble left, I'm trying to figure out which guys I believe enjoy fading the ball. And so minimizing the left side of the golf course, favoring the right side of the golf course. So there's guys out there that I like that typically like to fade the ball, typically like to eliminate that left side of the golf course. So those are some of the key stats that I'm looking at this week.
Nice, nice. I like it. Well, let's get into the DFS picks, what everybody wants to hear. Jesse, kick us off with the 10K range that or 10K and above range that has, of course, as people should know by now, since there's 125 of the best, the field's loaded. So you got Matsuyama, Fowler, Spieth, McIlroy, and DJ up top. Who are you looking at there?
Yeah, pretty standard as far as the guys, the actual names above 10K, but their orders is quite a bit different than what we're used to. You know, it's usually a McIlroy, a DJ, or a Jordan Spieth number one. So Hideki's taking over that top spot this week, and it'll be interesting to see exactly what his ownership is, top percentage and all that, because he is the highest priced guy. He is my favorite play up here in this region. It's just hard to argue with the recent form. With the fifth at the PGA Championship, first at the Bridgestone, two 14th place finishes across the pond over in Great Britain or United Kingdom, whatever you want to call it, and then of course second place at the U.S. Open. So the guy's just been performing. So he's going to be probably my top play and also my top pick. I hope people fade him due to the salary, but we will see. I think DJ is interesting because when Bucks was talking about the whole left side of the golf course and trying to eliminate that with the fade, the first person I think of is Dustin Johnson and playing that the nice little butter cut he plays. So he's an interesting play at 10-8, and he's also not coming in with the greatest form by his standards anyways. He did, you know, finish 13th at the PGA Championship a couple weeks back, so – of the guys up there, those would probably be my two top plays at this point.
What about you, Bucks? What are you looking at there?
Yeah, up here there's – I mean, obviously, like most events, you can make a case for the majority of these guys. But the two guys that I really like in this group are Matsuyama and Spieth. Both of them – they're two different types of players, but both kind of fall in the key categories that I like. They're good scorers on longer par fours. They score a ton of DK points, strokes gain. They're killing it, obviously. But the reason why I like both of them is they're almost like a guaranteed cut. And I hate saying that, but they kind of are, whereas Ricky, McIlroy, Johnson, they're a little riskier. I will say, like Jesse mentioned, I really do like Dustin this week. I'm not going to play him just because I think at 10-8 he's going to be crazy owned, crazy high owned, somewhere in the 20% range. But with that being said, he murders the ball off the tee, loves playing that butter cut. He's typically pretty good with kind of those mid irons into greens, can pick out targets. But if I had to go two guys, I'd probably go Matsuyama just because I think he'll be one of the lower guys owned because of his price point. But Spieth's the other guy that I really like. especially at a course that reminds him of Augusta. I think he's going to get jazzed up. He really is good at picking spots on greens and playing that target golf, so I think this suits him well.
Nice, yeah. I'll be jumping on the Matsuyama train. I agree with the concept of the low ownership in his recent form. He's in that groove that he was in earlier in the year that was pretty darn lights out. I get the Spieth idea there with Augusta, but I'm going to Ricky Fowler just based on the way he's playing. He's playing really, really well of late. Three top tens in three of his last four events, 22nd at the British Open, but playing really good in some top-tier fields, lacing it for once consistently. And you're talking about guys that can bang it bunkers just like the rest of them. His form is screaming for a top five, if not type thing to the winner's circle. So I'm going with Ricky at 11-3, probably my top guy. I'm just worried. I'm going to have to check fan share on a lot of these because as I made my list, it's a chalky list, I have a feeling. It just feels chalky at least.
All these names feel chalky, especially Ricky, but Ricky at the second highest price is not going to be Ricky at the U.S. Open where he was 10-5. So, I mean, it's a pretty big price increase, especially with him being the second highest price. So, we'll see. But, yeah, I agree with you on the fan share deal.
Yeah, and that's why I messaged you guys when I saw the prices. Like what you said, it, Jesse, you're used to seeing Spieth and Rory and DJ up top. When I saw Fowler at 11-3, I was like, whoa, that kind of stood out as more than I was shooting for there. But let's get into that $9,000 range. It's an interesting range. I know Bucks isn't big on it. So, Bucks, let us know who you got.
Yeah, there's two guys. I mean, again, $9,000 range. There's, five guys here, six guys? I mean, there should be a ton more in this range, I think. But the two guys that I'll be targeting this week in this range, Stenson, I don't care if he won last week. I think he's hitting the ball phenomenal. And we saw, I think, last spring, summer, I mean, when he gets hot, he gets real hot. And he's consistently in contention. So I like Stenson this week. He's number one on my model. Scores a ton of DK points, really good with longer par fours, and then really, really solid off the tee and obviously coming into green. So he's number one. And then number two is Casey. I'm always going to play Casey in spots like this, especially on a course kind of set up like Augusta. So he's standing out in my model as well. So I'll be playing him. I think, just for the record, I think what I'm going to do this week is fade all the top guys and start kind of probably at Casey and work my way down just as a separator on ownership. I do think Casey will be chalk again, but starting there and working your way down will definitely separate the lineups.
Yeah, and you said something important. Like when I made the chalk comment, once I got down to like the 7K range, that's where I think I'm going to do most of my separating. So your idea works pretty good there. Jesse, who are you liking in the 9K?
You know, Paul Casey, number two on your list, number one in my heart. I think it goes without saying. You know, Paul Casey at 9,000 is not Paul Casey at 7,800 like he was at the PGA Championship. So I don't expect to see 30% ownership like he was.
No.
There, so I'm totally on board with him again. Like you said, I think Jason Day is interesting too. At 9,700, he comes in off the ninth place at the PGA Championship, and if it wasn't for one of the worst shots in the history of golf on the 18th on Saturday, you know, he's in contention there for, you know, at least probably top five there at the PGA Championship. So I think he's interesting too. And that's a pretty big price decrease. I mean, even if you start with Jason Day, like you said, Stenson, and you work your way down from there and stay disciplined not to go above that, more than likely you're going to have a unique lineup or at least a more unique lineup than, you know, if you take one of the top guys. So, I mean, a lot of people are going to start up there just like usual. It's the way it always works. But I'll have some Day, Casey, and some Stenson this week as well.
We'll make that a three-way on the KC train as usual. This seems to be a pro KC podcast, and I don't even have to talk about that anymore. The guy that stood out to me, if I wasn't going Ricky Fowler, which I don't think I'll do a ton, I'll have him in a couple as my high price guy, but Jason Day was the one I was just tagged. As people may know by now, I am a recent form person, and Jason Day is starting to really, really look like that Jason Day that we used to expect. And he even said it. He's been working on things. He's starting to get things right. His mom's healthy again. I love everything about his game right now. He showed up really well at the PGA Championship. I think he's ready to play this weekend, and he'll be probably my highest owned guy I have. I think I'm going to do a lot of Day-KC combos. There was a third guy in this range I liked, but now that he's Andercursed, I don't know if I can touch Koepka. I like Brooks's game right now, but and he's another bomber in the DJ fashion in my mind that could play this course really well if he's hitting it straight. And I still might look more into him, but that Andercurse is a real thing. And so I don't know if I'm going there. I know that's great, analysis, but it's that simple.
Well, really just good. For the record, Andercurse guys are Justin Thomas, Brooks Koepka, and Daniel Berger. Right. So if you don't know what the Andercurse is, it's a guy who lays out picks every week, and those guys usually tank and or have no shot at winning at all whatsoever. So just for those who don't follow on there. But, I was kind of glad to see that because I'm not – I mean, Justin Thomas, I like the guy. He's just so sketch. I'm not going to be happy not playing Brooks, that's for sure. But,
Yeah, Brooks will make another nice play at 9,100. That's a discount in my mind on what he can potentially do. He's a legit chance at winning this tournament, so that sucks. But let's get into the 8K range. Yeah. Jesse, kick us off. We got about 2, 4, 6, about 10 guys, 9 to 10 guys in this range. What do you got?
Yeah, another interesting range. A guy like John Rahm is at 8,900, and he's been consistently above 9. In a lot of golf tournaments, the 10 plus range, as he was at the PGA Championship, where he was 10,100 and finished 58th. So that's interesting to me that he's that cheap. Starting at 8,900. It'll be interesting though to see how highly touted he is because of that price decrease. It's pretty significant. I'm not a huge fan of his form coming in, but he's one of those guys who could turn it on at any point in time. Matt Kuchar is interesting to me as well. I know we talked about him a little bit, I think, on the PGA Championship podcast, and I think even in some DMs, I talked to somebody about him and said I just don't like the fact that he's not as long off the tee. I mean, he hit 282 off the tee at the PGA Championship, but somehow still managed to get a top 10, and that's pretty big, especially at 8,700. I'm going to take another look at him, but I do like him just in my, quick view. Mark Leishman, I think, is interesting as well. I tend to continue to go back to him just because he's one of those guys who's very consistent as far as making cuts, knock on wood, hasn't missed one since the Players' Championship in May. Another guy, 8,100, that I think is super interesting because he hit 81% of greens in regulation last week, 76% the week before, and 80% at the John Deere Classic. So the last three tournaments he's played in, he's basically hitting 80% of his greens in regulation. That's Ollie Snyderjans. I'm just interested to see how highly touted he will be coming off that win. That is a humongous price for him at 8,100 in this field. He was 7,600 last week in the Wyndham. So he goes up 500 in a much, 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 much stronger field. So be interesting to see if anybody else is on him. But I do like him because of the fact that he is hitting, obviously, his irons very well at this point.
Definitely. I agree with you on the Kuchar thing. And like Bucks was saying, I'll hand it off to Bucks here in a second. But Kuchar is that cut maker you're looking for, in my opinion. So, Bucks, what are you seeing in this $8,000 range?
Yeah, there's two guys that I'm targeting in this range that I really like. One is Berger. He comes up eighth in my stat model. He's solid all around, so I'll definitely be playing him because I think he's under-owned. Leishman is another guy that I really like Jesse mentioned. They both fit kind of the mold that I'm looking for, consistency, Been playing well of late, which is great. A couple guys in this range that I like, you said, Kuchar is one of those guys that seems to always show up every week. He's going to make the cut for sure. I'm not a huge Kuchar fan, and so I'm going to fade him. But if you're looking for like an auto cut, he's kind of your guy, right? But I think at this price point too, just with his history, especially in majors, that he's going to be pretty highly owned. And I'm hoping with Kuchar, Rose, Zach Johnson around that group, that Leishman and Berger are kind of under-owned. The one thing I'll mention about Ollie, because I really do like Ollie a lot, but the one thing I'll mention about him is when he misses it, he tends to miss way left. And I'm not sure he's long enough to avoid some of the trouble that's left, like guys that we mentioned earlier, Jason Day, Ricky Fowler, those guys, when they miss left. But they're long, so they're going to carry some of that trouble that I'm more concerned of on the left side of the golf course, whereas I don't think Ollie can carry some of that. So I'll be fading Ollie, not only because he played really well last week in a weak field, but because I don't think he has the firepower to miss some of the trouble left if the swing's not right on.
Interesting. Yeah. I'll be going Kuchar at 8,700. You guys hit on all the points, positive and negative there. And then I am on the Leishman trade. I like him a lot this week. Very, very consistent. 9 straight cuts made. He it's like 4, 5, or 6 in the top 10, or in the top 20, and like 3 or 4 in the top 10. He's been playing really, really good golf. And he fits the course nicely if it's Augusta-like. So those will be my two in the 8,000 range. I'm not going too deep here. I have a handful in the 7s where, like I said, I'll deviate in that area. But Kuchar and Leishman for me. Bucks, take us into the $7,000 range.
Yeah, there's 400,000 guys in this range.
yes, there are. It's ridiculous.
But I'll go through a list of the guys I like and highlight a few of them. So in this range, I like Hoffman, Simpson, Duffner, Lovemark, Steele, and Xander Schauffele, Jesse's boy. A couple guys that I'm not playing this week that I typically really like. One, Sabatini, played great last week. I've been on him a few weeks now. I just don't think this course sets up well for him. He's way down there in my stat model. And another guy that I'm fading this week that I think will be chalk again is Finau. He is 7,300. He should probably be 8,300 or 8,500 at the minimum. But for some reason, he's still 7,300. He's going to be 25%+ owned. And he's one of those guys that I just mentioned that when he misses left. He is longer, so you don't have to worry about some of that. But he's also not very good from the 175 to 200-yard range. So I'm going to be fading him. But probably my most played guy in this range is probably going to be Hoffman. I think this week, because he took a week off finally, he may be a little under-owned, which will be nice, but I think he has the game, suits this course real well. Recent form's been great, obviously, and he's rested up for a week, so I'm hoping he gets right back on it.
I can dig it. What do you got, Jesse?
Yeah, I like the Hoffman call myself. I'm also going to be on Hoffman quite a bit. Patrick Cantlay is another guy at 7,800, who I probably will have quite a bit of. He's not played since the PGA Championship, where he finished 33rd, but just been making cuts. And at 7,800, make the cut, and let's see what happens. Now, the one thing about this is, you know, you're going from a 125-man field down to 70, so – it's not like the usual 156 down to 70. So the cut carnage may not be there, but getting 6 of 6 is going to be even more crucial because it's going to be probably 20 to 30% of people, you know, teams having 6 of 6. So if you don't, you're not cashing. Now, if you get 6 of 6 and you don't cash, don't tweet at me because I don't care because it happened to me. Another guy, I think Lucas Glover, you know, he's coming off. He didn't play great last weekend, but He did have all four rounds in the 60s, finished 28th at the Wyndham last week, and has some pretty good form coming in. And then last but not least, just to mention, I mean, there's, like you said, there's a billion guys in this area, but Martin Flores, your boy Bubba, I do like him a lot this week. A, because I think he's in a really good price point where he's going to get overlooked, but B, he's hitting a lot of greens, and he hits it far enough. He averaged 322 off the tee last week, and hit 84% of his greens in regulation. Now, sometimes the driver gets a little bit wonky, but hopefully the rough here isn't going to be too awful bad. So I think Flores is a sneaky little play there as well.
Yeah, we have a lot of similar plays as always, so I'll go through them quickly. Hoffman, I had circled at the top of the list. And then Duff Daddy, who, Bucks, you got me on him last weekend. I don't think I can quit him. Just his consistency has been really, really, really nice in the lineups lately. A guy I've been on the last few times he's played, he took last week off, played the PGA. But Jamie Lovemark is playing really, really good golf right now, and he is a bomber. So I think he lines up really well for this tournament. And for some reason, if I remember correctly, he gets overlooked quite a bit compared to because it seems like when you hear about him all the time, people are hating on him. And people is like, no, he's bad, this, that, or the other. But it's like the similar thing you said about Flores, who was next on my list that I like. He's in that range where you're going to see these other names around him that people, you know, glide to. And I think these guys will be overlooked in that mid-sevens. A couple guys I'm going to look into a little more, like Streelman. I know he fell apart and got towards on Saturday. But as a whole, he's been really, really consistent of getting through for you. I love some Lucas Glover. Just the way he's playing, I know – like you said, Jesse, he didn't dominate this last weekend, but heck, four rounds in the 60s, I think we'll sign up for that any day of the week. So that's very solid stuff. And he's been like a top 30 machine lately. And if your guys in the low sevens can top 30 it for you, that's all you're pretty pumped on that theory. So Shoffley, I like a lot because one thing we talked about Xander like a week or two ago is he wasn't taking any time off. Well, he's taking a couple weeks off now. And or at least 1 week for sure. And maybe got to refuel and get things back in order. He took 1 week off. So I think that's big for him because it's the cut at the PGA. He was one of the hottest golfers out there. And he wasn't playing in just trash fields every time. So that week off could be really big for him. And I think a 71 could be nice. I'm just worried at that price point, everyone's going to flock to him at 7,000. So that worries me a bit. But those are the guys I'll be looking at. I'll probably be focused like you, Bucks. I've been a Hoffman guy since we started this podcast, basically. And Hoffman, Lovemark, and Flores, and Glover. Those will be like my main four in the 7K range. And then I'll sprinkle around. And I want to look at Sabatini some more because you just concerned me with your lover boy and you're not on him. That really worries me. That'd be like Jesse saying I'm not on Paul Casey.
All right.
I don't know if it'd be that bad, but
I know. I'm joking. Let's finish it up with the lower range, the 6,900 and below range, which, you know, it's pretty nasty down there, but somehow you're going to need one of these guys to probably show up and if you want to win the big bucks. So let's talk the big bucks. What do you got on this one?
Yeah, I think so. Let me touch real quick on Xander. I think he will be overlooked a little bit this week because there's so many guys around 7,300 to 6,800 that are so good. And the first guy I mentioned here is the biggest reason I think Xander will be overlooked is because for some reason, Charles Schwartzel is 6,900 this week, which is just mind-boggling. A guy that is actually playing pretty well. He scores a ton of points on DraftKings. He's just a really good ball striker all around. The only thing that, from what I can see, that I'm not a huge fan of is when he misses it left. But honestly, I'm not too concerned about that. But again, and this is another guy that always shows up at Augusta and plays well too. So. Great out of the sand, makes a ton of cuts. Not sure why he's in a 6,900. I could see him being chalky at 7,500, so even 8,200, something like that. So Charles Schwartzel is definitely my top guy in the 6,000 range, but a couple guys that I like a lot in this range, Harris English and Kokrek, both guys I had last week, both played well. Kokrek's a guy that we've been talking about in our group chat for a few weeks now, and he's been solid. So there are a bunch of guys down here that you could play. I mean, Charles Howe, Kevin Na, Grayson Murray, Harold Varner, all these guys have had really good weeks. The one guy down here I think is going to be super chalk is Chez Reavie. And then one guy who I will never roster again is Danny Lee down here. But yeah, there's a ton of really good golfers down here. So I think here's the biggest reason why I think I'm going to stay fairly balanced from like 9,000 to 7,200 is because I think this week with the people down here, we're going to see a ton of stars and scrubs lineups.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Jesse, what do you like in the 6,900 and below?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. It's just the problem is, obviously, if you don't hit the winner up top there, then they're going back. Like, I mean, that's what bit me so bad last week was Henrik and Webb being so highly owned. Well, Henrik wasn't himself, but Webb was like 30% owned. So you get a top three out of that guy, and you just are pretty much sunk. But I'm with you on Charles. I had him check. Kokrek, super interesting. Hits it up way, way, way off the tee. I mean, just bombs it off the tee. Another guy, all four rounds in the 60s last week, including the 63 on Saturday. So he may have found something. I think Bud Cauley, going back to Bud Cauley, is interesting. His putter was so bad last week, and that's really what held him back from being in any kind of contention. He finished 42nd. But if the putter can potentially get going, then he can be right there, I think, on Sunday. A few more guys. CT Pan, I was on him a little bit last week, kind of as a late add, and he did all right. I mean, he made the cut, but just one of those guys who hits a lot of greens regulation. Once again, hit 83% greens regulation. Putter was awful, so maybe if he gets the putter going. Graham DeLay being 6,800 is pretty ridiculous, I think. Coming off the 7th, the PGA Championship. He's interesting because he did play so well at the PGA Championship. Now, he might finish dead last. I think he's worth a look myself. Two more guys, and these are pretty much punt plays for me. Scott Brown, only reason being is I read a quote earlier today, and it said, so I went over and played it, and I'm glad I did. When he's talking about the golf course, it's my kind of golf course. So, you know, he likes the golf course. That is kind of an angle that I like, obviously. And then last but not least, J.J. Henry. Hit 91% of greens in regulation last week. 82% of his drives were in the fairway, and his putter was awful. So hopefully he can give people a putting coach and maybe figure something out. But he's a pretty good punt play at 6,600, basically minimum price. So those are a few guys there. What do you think about Luke List, Bubba?
I'm not on List at all. I only have three guys down here I like. I have no care for List, but I know he can hit it hard and hit it long. So if he's on, he's not a bad punt play. But Bucks, what do you like on List?
Yeah, I mean, he's not bad. He does score quite a few DraftKings points, and he plays really well on longer par fours. The only thing that he's not kind of in like the top 70 on my stat model is proximity from that 175 to 200 range. But I mean, when you look at, like, strokes gained overall, he's in the top 50. So, I mean, at 6,600, you could definitely do a lot worse down here. So, the other guy that I liked down here was Kelly Kraft, too. I mean, he'll be one of those 0.1% guys, and he's been hitting it pretty decent.
The only reason I said Luke List is because it seems to be like a DFS darling, and everybody's on him and looking him missing five-footers. So, I mean, that's why I'm wondering if he'll be, I mean, if he's more than, you know, 5 to 10% owned, you know, in my opinion, he's a great fade, but if he's less than, he could, you know, if the putter gets hot, another one of those guys. Seems like a lot of these guys down here are just terrible putters, which is pretty much the difference between a great golfer and a min price golfer.
Yeah. And I think I think with these greens, from what I've read from people that have played it recently, is that the lines are really pure. And so I think you'll see some of the good putters really accelerate this week and step up, whereas the guys that are struggling are going to get lapped even further. So
yeah. Okay. And back to List real quick. He's basically boomer bust. So GPP, yeah, roll the dice with him. Other than that, if you're trying to go balance, he's too risky for me. Yeah. But I'll start backwards, since Ches Reavie already was called Chalky, but I love the way he's playing. And like, if you're going to, hey, well, let's see the over under 20%.
Over.
What do you think he's going to be then?
Probably 20 to 25% right there. I think 20% is a great over under line on him.
All right, and then Kokrak, or Cockrock, as I like to call him. I think he's a very very good play this week. Yeah, and my third one that none of you guys mentioned, and if I'm missing something, please let me know. Chad Campbell at $6,900. What am I missing here with Chad Campbell? This guy has just been a cut machine of late, playing really, really good golf. He's hanging around some high finishes, but at worst, he's around like a 30th place or better. I don't see what I'm missing here unless I am. Let me know. You guys see anything different with him?
I mean, I'm looking at the stat model now, and he's – pretty consistent across the board in the top 60 in almost every category. The only reason that I think he'll be super low owned, just because you have Schwartzel, Kokrak, some of the guys that people like, DeChambeau even around here, Bug Holly. I don't see any reason why not to sprinkle some of him in.
I don't mind. He hit 83% of his greens last week in regulation, and driver was pretty good. But another guy whose putter sucked. So, I think he's a good punt player for GPP.
And then there's one more I just noticed that it's similar to the Luke List category for me, but he's 300 more. He can hit it a long, long ways, but it's boomer bust. Is Cam Smith at 6,900. Again, he'll be in that range that – with your Schwartzels and company, well overlooked, but that's a dicey play.
Yeah. Well, he shot 63 on Sunday at the Wyndham last week. So he found something, because he was awful before that, since his win in that doubles thing. He won that, didn't he? I think he won that.
Anyway, yeah, he won that in the playoff.
He's not been.
All right.
Let's
take us to the punt plays. Jesse, who's your top punt play of the week?
Yeah, I'll go with J.J. Henry. If I'm down here at the bottom and I'm bottom dwelling, I like J.J. just to take a fly around. Pat Kazire is another guy who is, I think, interesting as well.
What about you, Bucks?
Two guys, Harris English, and a guy that I actually really like down here is David Langmuir at 6,600.
Yeah, that's a good one right there. That's a good price there. I forgot all about him. He's a sneaky good one. My punts are going to be Chad Campbell, and then Kokrak will be my two punt plays. Bucks, take us to your high-owned bust of the week. And if you say Chaz Reavie, I'm going to be so angry.
No, I'll try to keep these in kind of the higher-priced guys, because – once you get down to that lower price point, anything can really happen. But there's a couple guys that – I don't know if I'm saying it just because I hope it happens or because I think it happens. But I'm not a fan of Ricky this week. Sorry, Bubba. Not saying he doesn't play well. I just don't think he hits value, I guess. Another guy that I just – really can see missing the cut, or hope he misses the cut, is Kuchar. I mean, Mr. Consistency. I think he's going to be chalk, and I'm fading him, so I want him to miss the cut.
He's just picking my lineups apart. Jesse, what do you got?
Trash all the picks. Just trash them all.
Yeah.
I'll go with all of Buck's picks. Everybody who Buck's said. I think the guy that, like, will probably be the highest owned as far as with the best potential to miss a cut is Justin Thomas.
I'll agree with that.
Coming off the PGA, you know, championship win, he's going to be, you know, 20 probably plus percent, especially at 9,400. And I mean, just love him to death, but the guy is just so sketchy with his game. You know, maybe he figured something out and he'll just light the world on fire again. But given past performances, you know, this is probably a good place for him to miss a cut.
Yeah. I'd go Rory up top, but he might not even be that high owned, as we noticed when he was coming in banged up to the British Open. He wasn't even that high owned.
Is he playing this week?
Yeah, he's in.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, he's in. He's playing, unless he withdraws like tomorrow or Wednesday. He's playing. I got Rory, and then I agree 100%. The guy I focused on was Justin Thomas. I think he's that guy that if he's locked in, he's great, but all it takes is one shot to turn around into an 80 for him. Because it's almost realm-like implosion.
Yep.
So, JT, my guy. Okay, what are your, like, two or three core players, Jesse?
I think I'm going to go Hideki up top. And I have some Paul Casey, but obviously I can't not go Paul Casey. But then getting down to kind of the lower end or middle to fill in with Hideki, Ollie and Patrick Cantlay, I think, are my two. So those would be the three: Hideki, Ollie, and Cantlay.
What about you, Bucks?
Probably three core guys this week. Going to be Xander, Hoffman, and Berger.
I like it. I'm going to be focusing on Jason Day, Paul Casey, and I'll be down there with Hoffman as well. That'll be my threesome. Last but not least, Bucks, who's your winner?
If I'm being honest with myself, Stenson, I think he wins again. But I really, really want Hoffman to win. So I'll say Hoffman.
Jesse?
Paul Casey.
I'm on board with that, baby.
Yeah, I'm all good with that, especially because my pick to win is Jason Day. So if it's Casey or Day,
let's go.
I'm just fine with that. Yep. Yeah, let's ride that one out. 1-2 finish. I don't care what order. Yes. I'm good with it.
I'm with it.
But, yeah, Jay Day, do we have any listener questions, Jesse?
Yeah, we got a few. First one comes from our boy at Hatchman41 who called the Justin Thomas win at the PGA Championship, and he says, David Lingmuth top 10 this week. Okay. Question mark.
There you go, Bucks.
Yeah, I mean, I could definitely see it happening. Stacked field, but the guy's been playing well. I mean, he's definitely a mid-7K guy that you're getting at 6,600. So you could definitely do worse. And if you're playing a ton of lineups, I definitely throw him in a fair majority of them.
Yeah, he plays Augusta courses very, very well. So if it is like Augusta, it's a good fit for him.
Yeah, you guys can have all the Lingmuth. I'm fine with that. Next question comes from our dude, OG John, at Clem Bros. Momentum, a big factor, or total reset? For me, it's a big factor. I love guys who are playing well coming in. We talk about recent form every week, so
yeah,
definitely a big factor for me.
Yeah, I think current form is really good, and I think with this being a brand-new course, it's going to be a little different because nobody's really seen it. But current form in these type of events with such a strong field is definitely higher on my list than picking certain categories.
I'm with you there. Anything else, Jesse?
Yeah, we got a few more. Two more. Jason Day, has he shown enough recently to believe his game might be coming back to an elite level? I will say maybe.
I'll say yes.
Elite. Yeah, I think, yes, elite's a strong word, but I think he's getting darn close. Maybe not, like, torching the field every week close, but he could definitely be in contention on Sunday. I could see that in a heartbeat.
My issue with him is he has not hit his driver straight at all, and it gets him in trouble, and he takes the big number. So if he can straighten out his driver, the answer to that question is 100% yes, but that's a big if. I have to see it. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I think with this course, the way that it's set up and how generous the landing areas are, not just with fairways, because Jason Day is going to miss the fairway, but right. It's not like there are some holes that are tree lined, but there are some holes that are pretty wide open. I mean, you can blow it everywhere. And yeah, you'll be in some rough, but you have a shot. So
gotcha. That makes him a little bit more interesting, in my opinion. Last question. Would you agree the course seems to lean toward accuracy, especially off the tee? If so, who stands out? I think we talked about this. You just talked about it. Basically, it's not what you would consider an accuracy type of course in Bucks' view anyways, which I translate to my view. And so the first question is no. And we've talked about who stands out all for the last hour.
Yeah, I'll say it depends on the condition of the greens. If the greens are fair, then I would much rather have a guy that's going to murder it off the tee. But if the greens get super, super firm, then I'd love to have the guys that hit the fairway more often, control their spin better into some of those target zones on the greens, those quadrants or segments, whatever you want to call it. But we'll just have to wait and see.
And that really brings your stat of, you know, proximity from, say, 150, 175, or 175 to 200 that much more important. Or if they're just playing Snells, they're golden.
Snells.
That's right. Team Snell.
There we go. Well, sweet. Any last words tonight, gentlemen? Another good always pressing is in the books. Jesse?
No, that's it. Last two scrambles I played with Snells shot 34 under. So just keep that in mind, Snells.
Woo, 34 under. Good Lord.
Bucks, what you got? Well, it's a scramble. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Bucks, what do you got?
Looking forward to an awesome weekend. This is a question we didn't ask. What do you think the winning score is?
Well, you guys were saying they played a tournament there last year and only one score was under, but these guys are a little better than that. I'm going to go with 8 under.
I like it.
Yeah, I like 8. I was going to say if the greens are fair, probably 12, but 8 to 12 would be a really good range, I think.
So I think if guys get in too much trouble, it could be interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, all right, that'll do it. Thanks for listening, everybody. Check us out at AlwaysPressDFS on Twitter. Keep following, subscribe on iTunes and SoundCloud, all that good stuff. Rate and review, all the fun stuff we get to promote. More importantly, good luck this week. Hope you guys win some money on the DFS slate. It's a lot of big tournaments, as Jesse tweeted out earlier today. So let's get it in, and we will catch you guys next week.